The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Dad.
Oh, God, what?
Why don't atheists have to solve exponential equations?
Because math is bullshit.
No, and I'm offended.
Okay, all right, what?
Because they don't believe in higher powers.
Go to your freaking room, you loser.
Already there.
You're listening to The Wayward Willis with John and Logan, where two atheists discuss religion, culture, and maybe some politics. If you're offended by blasphemy, profanity, or you hate fun, this podcast may not be right for you. And now, on to the show.
Hey, you.
It's us.
Closet Cribbage Enthusiasts.
I'm your host, John.
And I'm Logan, a survivor of the Wall Rose invasion.
Nerd. This week, we're asserting our dominance, demanding respect, and trading human beings like Pokemon cards.
Yippee!
We're talking about patriarchy.
So, what even is patriarchy?
Well, the dictionary defines patriarchy as social organization marked by the supremacy of the father in the clan or family, the legal dependence of wives and children, and the reckoning of descent and inheritance in the male line. Essentially, it's the long-winded version of All Hail the Penis!
Ah, a new phallus.
The phallus strikes back.
Return of the phallus.
I think we're done. Come to think of it, this podcast really does talk about penis a lot. I feel like we need to fire the scriptwriter.
Is this your way of saying we're done now? So long, imaginary listeners.
It's been real. Peace.
Except imaginary. It's been imaginary.
Oh, yeah. No, we're still on. All right. No, we're still here, everyone. Still here.
Oh, scratch that.
So patriarchy, as with many terms we use on this show, has its roots in Greek, and it means rule of fathers. It's the idea that the father of a family is the governing head, with all other members of the family submitting to his authority.
The Greeks believed in my way or the highway before Limp Bizkit made it cool.
They also broke stuff first.
It's just one of those days!
The father's sons have priority for inheritance and responsibility for continuing the family lineage and legacy.
Go forth and copulate!
That's my kind of commandment. In a patriarchal system, women are mothers, housewives, and family assets when they reach marrying age. Many people have described women in patriarchal systems as chattel, or a personal possession.
Ah, that word is not pronounced like cattle. Women aren't actually considered to be cows. Got it.
Given that daughters were bargained and traded like livestock, they were essentially considered cows. Or camels, because they got humped.
Nope. You're done. I'm taking away your pun privileges.
Fine.
Give me your pun card.
The opposite of patriarchy is matriarchy, meaning a system in which the woman holds the power and passes it on to her female offspring.
Along with the secrets of witchcraft.
Or telepathic communication. They're all part of a conspiracy to hide it from you, Logan.
Damn it, it's been right beneath our noses this whole time.
The weird thing about matriarchal systems is that some apologetics are necessary to really define and illustrate any society considered matriarchal.
But we hate apologetics.
Fact. For example, you can look at Middle Eastern countries where women are put in bags and don't get to vote or drive or even leave the house without a male chaperone and be like, yup, that's a patriarchy. Men definitely rule everything. But when you talk about a matriarchal society, you're more like, well, women can do the things that men can do, and a lot of dudes ask their moms for advice.
You know, every society could be considered matriarchal because we all report to Mother Earth.
Gaia, the spirit of nature. I learned about her when I started watching Captain Planet after school. Liberal propaganda.
Oh god, fake news.
I mean, even the Queen of England isn't a monarch with real power. Parliament, like Congress, is the real legislative body. It's not like the Queen can be like, I declare from now on that all men subject to my rule shall not climax until their partner has had at least two orgasms. Though it would be pretty funny if she did.
I'm sure all the women of England would be very much appreciative of such a declaration.
You'd have some guys shackled to the wall in the Tower of London, like, dude, it was the first time that happened to me. She was just really pretty.
It had just been a really long time for me, okay? It won't happen again, I swear.
And the guy in shackles next to him is like, it's okay, bro. It happens to everyone.
Oh, God. You know what I just realized? What about gay couples? How are they supposed to handle that?
Oh.
If they can't orgasm until their partner has... Are they just supposed to have an infinite chain of orgasms?
I feel like we did a cishet thing.
Yep. Oh. Heck us. We're terrible.
You know what? Fucking heck us.
Whoa.
All right?
Whoa.
Heck on us.
Whoa. You can't use an actual cuss word with a pretend joke cuss word. It doesn't...
Fuck heck.
No, you've ruined it. We're moving on now.
Okay, fine. So, obviously, you don't have to look very far or very hard to recognize that, with very few exceptions, all societies throughout history have favored men over women in all areas of life, like property ownership, voting rights, political power, and entrepreneurship.
Except on the planet of Gazorpazorp.
Ah, yes, ruled by the benevolent Zorpa, who always climaxed twice.
I mean, I made a Rick and Morty reference, but...
I still need to watch that. Sorry.
You're the worst. Moving on.
Anywho, I like my Gazorpazorp.
That's bad.
No, two climaxes are fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Stop!
Okay, so before we get into the unbroken line of male U.S. presidents, you always had the English House of Lords, the hereditary kingships of every European country, and the establishment and priesthood of all Abrahamic religions.
And of course... The peaky fucking blinders.
I don't understand. Did they have like a no girls allowed sign on their gangster hideout?
No, you have to watch that too. Why are you so behind on pop culture?
Do they all hate women? I don't want to watch that show.
Okay, well, not exactly, but just watch it.
Okay, fine. This is where we start talking about how men have asserted dominance over women by claiming God told them to do it. All major world religions were created and led by men. The god of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam is considered male, or at least considered to have male attributes.
Talk about that dick!
A celestial dick?
Star dick?
Like...
That dick is out of this world, bro!
Oh, man. All right. We're done.
Okay. Now. All right. Moving on. Allah, Jehovah, Yahweh, or whatever you want to call him, is considered the heavenly father.
Who's your daddy?
Not Yahweh. Hell, even ancient religions with multiple gods typically held that the main god was male, even when there were a bunch of goddesses floating around.
They were all just side hoes.
I dare you to say that to Hera's face.
Bet.
No balls, you won't.
Manchester.
But yeah, I mean, you can't let goddesses think they're in charge, you know, otherwise you get a badass sailing with an army of the dead into Ragnarok on a ship made of dead humans' fingernails.
And casting Thor out of the Avengers momentarily for a solo movie with a Hulk cameo.
And like the Tron soundtrack or some shit.
I'm still excited for it.
Oh god, fuck these Marvel movies.
Hey, calm down.
They're so bad! Okay, anyway... So, the reason we call Judaism, Christianity, and Islam Abrahamic faiths is because Abraham is the original prophet and father of the nation of Israel, with a crossover story in the Torah and Quran. Of course, Christianity just piggybacks on Judaism and is like, us too!
Bunch of sheep. The lot of them. We would know. We're experts on sheep at this point.
Yeah, we are. Do sheep still call it piggyback, or is there such a thing as a sheepyback?
My eyes have been opened. I must know the answer.
So Abraham's story is depicted in both the Bible and the Quran as the pinnacle of faith and obedience to God.
The original brown noser.
Because he didn't question the great dictator in the clouds, he was given the immortalized status of the father of the people of Israel.
And a lesser known immortalized status as a teacher's pet.
And a mortalized status as a terrible parent.
Oh shit, roasted as fuck, bitch! Oh.
Well, that's because the most well-known illustration of Abraham's obedience to God is the story in Genesis, where God decides to test Abraham's faith. This is only one instance where God does this, and it's a stupid theme in a narrative about an all-knowing God that he would need to test somebody to find out something he should already know.
Sometimes you just want to make sure you know what you're doing. A sort of reality check, like a totem in Inception.
Like, is this real life? So anyway, Abraham has a son named Isaac, who he loves and, as is the custom, is the male offspring to whom Abraham will pass on the family legacy. We're supposed to assume that if Abraham only has one son, then it would be a huge deal for that son to die. Because then what are you going to do? Let a girl continue the Abrahams?
If you ain't got a Wong, you're doing it wrong.
I think we're doing it wrong anyway. So God comes to Abraham one day and has a conversation with him. Something like this.
Abraham, you're a great dude and everything, and I know you love me, but how much do you love me?
Well, gee, God, I love you an awful lot.
Do you love me enough to thank me every time you sit down to a meal?
Of course I do. I always thank you for the food my wife cooks by painstakingly hacking things with primitive tools and rubbing two sticks together to make a fire and a pile of bricks so she can stand over it for hours and make sure it heats evenly so I won't kick her ass for serving me rare mutton chops.
That was oddly specific, and I feel like you're trying to say something, but whatever. Tell me. Do you love me enough to sacrifice your best lamb?
Of course, God. I always set aside the most spotless, healthy lamb from my flock in order to senselessly murder it and burn it to a crisp in your name, even though I could feed my family for far longer than the smaller, less healthy lambs we end up eating.
Still sensing a little bit of sarcasm or something, Abe. Never mind. Do you love me enough to sacrifice your only son, Isaac, to me?
Certainly, God. I mean, why wouldn't I want to kill off the only male offspring in my family who's the only hope for my tribe to continue existing past my own unavoidable death? Let's do this!
Abe, dude, you're kind of freaking me out. This whole thing was kind of a joke. I mean, where the fuck do you draw the line anyway? Killing your own son is okay? Jeez, you're a monster!
But I had this rope and everything.
And scene.
Oh, I was really in the groove there.
I could really feel myself filling the role of Abraham.
Yeah, like I had my motivation. It was great. So Abraham was about to stab Isaac in the heart, and an angel, not Yahweh himself, an angel came down and was like, Abraham, no, don't hurt your kid. And then a ram just bamfed into the brambles and they killed it instead. The end.
It's over. And you're walking into a parking lot with a hot guy.
And they all made fun of you, but they got stuff dumped on top of them.
It's over!
Like two people are gonna get that reference.
I know. I feel like we really need to promote Homestar Runner a lot more than we do.
Homestarrunner.net. It's .com.
And they're not going to get that one either.
No, it's okay. We still love you guys.
We love you.
We just need to invest in more well-known references.
Maybe we should. We need more pop culture here.
Oh, man. All right. Moving on.
No, but we should do an entire episode on the religious practice of sacrifice.
I volunteer as tribute.
May the odds be ever in your favor. But this story is viewed by Jews and Christians, and I guess Muslims, as a perfect example of obedience and faith. This is the kind of thing that earned Abraham, and in turn Isaac and his son Jacob, the title of patriarch. These religions portray story after story of men who were totes awesome.
And drank awesome shooters and listened to awesome music and then just sat around soaking up each other's awesomeness.
I want my pink shirt back!
You can't stay with us! I think we're getting back on track with the...
Yeah, but we're still like 8 years.
That's true. We'll work harder for you guys.
All right, we'll catch up eventually. So, very few stories in any religious text are devoted to slightly cool things that women did, probably by accident or because they're big liars or something.
Maybe ancient women just weren't that awesome. It took them a while to get the awesome genes.
So, this sets the groundwork for how religions treat women as baby makers and second-class citizens. Orthodox Judaism says women cannot be rabbis, though Reform and Reconstructionist Judaism has changed that only since 1972. Which, suspiciously, is after the civil rights movement. So, yeah.
Roasted as fuck.
But Catholicism says women cannot be priests. Fundamentalist Christianity says women cannot be pastors. And Islam says women cannot be people.
At least, not real people. They can be imaginary people.
Right, I know. Taking digs at Islam gets you a bunch of internet outrage, but that was funny and you could suck it. Moving on.
Up to the east side. In that deluxe apartment in the sky.
Our references just went backward in time.
I'm trying.
So Judaism and Christianity share the harsh sanctions against female sexuality and autonomy, but Christianity also contains some pretty lame-ass shit in the New Testament on top of that.
I find that most ass shit is lame.
Never really given a whole lot of thought about ass shit.
Well, It's something you encounter on a fairly regular basis.
You do.
You're right. I am the only person on this podcast who poops.
That is correct. Moving on. In 1 Timothy, Paul explicitly forbids women to speak in church, saying that they should keep quiet and then ask their husbands questions when they get home. He also instructs the church not to allow a woman to have a teaching position or any authority over men.
Dominatrix dungeons were expressly off limits.
Well, yeah, because that's just deviant sexual behavior. But all atheists know this is a misogynistic view, consistent with the religion as a whole. But Christians employ silly apologetics to try and justify it.
Well, you know, we just aren't really into whips and chains and handcuffs.
No, not justifying that. But no, they'll be like, no, he's not saying women aren't allowed to talk in church in general. He was saying that this one particular church had problems getting through a service because, you know, some women were constantly interrupting and asking questions. So Paul was saying that those specific women should just wait to ask their questions until the service was over so everybody got what they needed out of the service. Plus, it was just a thing during that time where the husband was the spiritual leader of the family. It's not like they thought women were dumb.
Except Eve. She was an idiot. Fuck you, Eve.
God.
I will never let this go.
I know. I'm picking up on that. So the problem with this apologetic is the phrasing of the verse itself. Paul says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
Oof. I liked it better when it was just an ironic joke and not canonical scripture.
I know. Also, I was kind of getting into it toward the end.
Also,
there.
Your preacher voice is terrifying. Please never again.
Okay. Anyway, he is literally saying that women are dirty, inferior sinners. Those are his words.
Okay, well,
his words.
Well, no, he didn't actually literally say those words, but...
Literally. Word for word. Verbatim.
We need to have a talk about the word literally.
Verbatim.
Oh, God.
It's Latin. But no, he's just talking about how too many questions are distracting. Of course he is.
You're awful and gross is generally synonymous with quit asking so many questions while I'm trying to preach. So I can confirm this.
Yes. That's how I ask everyone to be quiet, please, is you're awful and gross.
You're awful and gross. You're awful and gross. Everyone, you're all awful and gross.
I'm going to start doing that on our interviews. If somebody is talking for too long, I'll just be like, you're awful and gross.
I'll be like, excuse me.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be a pretty short interview.
Bitch, fuck you. Boop, boop.
All right. So another way that Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all put women in an inferior category below men is to point out how dirty and disgusting menstruation is. In so many cultures, including Native Americans, women had to be separated from the rest of society when they were on their period because men didn't want to, like, get a woman's fertility all over them. Blech!
How dare you have natural biological functions around me, you blasted wretch!
Yeah, except pooping. You're the only one who does that.
Oh my God.
So to this day, you can see how this stigma has persisted in the way we still shame women for biology as though they can help it. I mean, have you ever talked to a guy who has had to go to the store to pick up pads or tampons for his wife or girlfriend? They usually treat it like it's the most embarrassing, demeaning thing you could ever ask them to do. Toilet paper? Cool, everybody poops. Or just Logan. Tampons? Ew, gross! Fucking troglodytes.
Except for me, because I'm a catch, I promise.
And also he poops. But he's on the market, ladies!
Alright, well, the poop thing was unnecessary.
He's pooping on the market, ladies!
Ew. Well, maybe.
No, but during the campaign last year, Daddy Trumpo made a dig at Megyn Kelly by saying that she had blood coming out of her... I can't do a Trump voice.
That was terrible.
Alright, I'm just gonna read it, and then everybody can just listen to it in Daddy Trumpo's voice. I don't know why you'd want to do that. But yeah, he said she had blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever. Making it perfectly clear that this fat, fucking, disgusting, misogynistic piece of human garbage wants nothing more than to keep women in their place and ensure that the patriarchy lives on.
That was a laundry list of adjectives you just used.
I could have used more and they would have all been accurate. But anyway, our guest this week is with us on fighting this misogynistic bullshit.
Yay, fight the bullshit!
Well, we've finally caught up to someone whose personality and passion at Gateway to Reason just blew me away. She's an atheist, an LGBTQ activist, and the director of public engagement at CFI. This week, we're talking to Stephanie Guttormson. I'm so glad we're getting to talk finally.
Same. What do you want? I'm brief.
Well, I mean, feel free to gush over the opportunity that is being on the Wayward Willis.
It is quite the honor.
I this is only short of the Nobel Prize I wish to win.
Ah, yes.
Would you like to thank the Academy?
Second only to Nobel Prize.
You're welcome.
So, no, it's good to be here.
Our topic this week is patriarchy and religious culture, and I wanted to get your response to the idea that in 2017, male-dominated culture and sexism still exist all over the world. What do we make of this?
You're kidding.
No,
I'm super surprised.
Okay, well then, let me explain it to you. I have to explain things to all my guests. I don't understand.
If you could continue mansplaining this more, yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, well, let me tell you about the struggles of women.
You gonna learn today.
Oh, God. Oh, I can't wait. I got my notes. I got my notepad. I got my pen. Here, no.
Write this down.
So, I think things have gotten significantly better, especially since the early 70s. The wage gap that everyone whines about is going to be controversial. It's not 70 cents to the dollar anymore. It's much more nuanced than that. It's not equal. I'm not going to be one of those people that says it's equal, but it's also not as bad as some numbers claim. But that's only in the United States, right? Like, other countries exist.
Right.
I don't know if anyone listening to the podcast knows that.
There
I
are,
assume you guys do.
There are over 6 countries in the world.
At least 5.
At least 6. Yeah. No, have to be at least 6. But no. Male-dominated culture is fucking everywhere. To me, coming where I'm from, being trans and being on both sides of the fence, It's really sickening. In fact, we were walking back from the store. I had to make a stop at another store on the way back. I didn't get 10 feet from my boyfriend before some guy was like, "Hey, beautiful." Just the entitlement that a lot of men have to either women's bodies or our time or whatever.
Right.
God, it's everywhere. Like, this wasn't an exaggeration. This just happened tonight. I didn't have to get that far away from him before something happened, you know, and I'm not going to say that happens to me on the daily, but it's frequent enough that it makes me really uncomfortable. A lot of the issues that face American women, specifically white women, to be honest, aren't really that much of a priority for me.
Okay.
Patriarchy, being as awful as it is, affecting women as much as it does not affect white women the way it affects women of color.
Right.
And so I am pretty anti-white feminism because I believe in priorities. I have this stupid thing I do where I look at all the things that are bad and I go, okay, well, this is worse, like, objectively. This isn't a pissing contest. This is legitimately, the two are different.
Right.
In terms of order of magnitude or what have you. And I get a lot of crap for that, but I mean, the fact is, I'm sorry to say that, Anita, you're whining about video games. I'm sorry. I don't care. There are women in Africa whose clits are being cut off. I'm just saying, maybe take some of that money that's sitting in that account you have and, you know, maybe help stop that instead of whining about another Lara Croft game where the character who stereotypically has big boobs and small shorts has big boobs and small shorts and every single iteration. Now I'm really getting mad that Halo has guns.
Well, especially in light of, you know, our American obsession with...
Yeah, you should be more pissed that Halo and those kind of games exist showing gratuitous violence. Of course, I would be against that. But for consistency's sake, that's where you should be putting your energy. I mean, part of the problem is men both want women, but I think a lot of the things that men do, like in terms of like the rules that are set up for women, like not being allowed to be topless outside, whereas men are, that to me is like a self-serving taboo fetish kind of thing, where the more taboo something is, the more enticing it tends to be, just psychologically.
Right.
And so, I mean, the people that are always super against it, like, I don't know, some male white Republicans I could mention.
The
more
know.
Adamant someone is against something, like there reaches a point where their being adamant is out of whack with both reality and the experiences they've had or might have.
Well, I think that a lot of things tend to be taken to extremes. And from the things that I see, you know, we have entire rooms full of just old white Christian men who are sitting around a table talking about how women are going to behave and how women are going to be treated and how women, you know, should behave. It seems to me like a lot of the problem is that you've got men who have been steeped in what I think these deeply patriarchal religious ideas and cultures, where they love women, they want women, but they want women in their place. I mean, doesn't that kind of seem like the way things are?
And that, to add on to that, it almost feels like it's not just a perspective that religious people have. It seems like that's permeated into the rest of society that may or may not be associated with religion as well. Because I was telling Dad the story the other day. Somebody at my work was talking about somebody that they knew was like really into gender roles and like how in a relationship people should behave a certain way. And the guy was like, well, I don't really believe in gender roles, but at the very least, I think that girls nowadays aren't really being taught how to cook like they should be. And it's like, well, when I meet a girl who doesn't cook, it's like,
yourself. You're a human being.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, when I meet a girl who doesn't cook, well, now I've got to cook. And it's like, yeah, that's basically how being cursed works.
I regained my train from the last thing, just to wrap it up.
All right, let's do this.
They tend to make things taboo that they want, and that just creates a vicious cycle.
Yes.
They want it more, and then they ban it more, and then they want it more, and then they ban it more.
Right. And
it doesn't work.
Well, we spend a lot of time in this.
And it's vicious to women, too. So basically, they're saying, like, with being topless, you're incapable of not raping me because you saw boobs? Do you not understand what that reduces you to?
Yeah.
You're a human being that can, you know.
Yeah, it carries over into things like the idea that wearing certain articles of clothing will make you more liable to be raped or, like, victimized. And that's something that has always really bothered me because, again, it's not about, like, what a person is wearing or, like, how they're dressed or whatever. Like, that has nothing to do with it. If somebody's a rapist, they're a rapist. Like, there shouldn't be external stimuli that make somebody more or less prone to raping somebody else.
Or more or less responsible for it.
That, too. That it, at the very least, it should never be used as, like, a justification. Like, oh, well, she was wearing blah, blah. No. That doesn't mean anything. That just makes you a piece of trash. That's my rant. And I mean, part of the, and I'm not to like flip this on the other side of things, but I feel like there's, I mean, rightfully so, because of that sort of thing, there's a sort of stigma amongst the community of females that like, well, I can't wear like certain articles of clothing because that will make me more susceptible to these sorts of things, because that's the projection that's being put out by society nowadays. And that's the sort of thing that bothers me, is that carries over into the minds of females and actually permeates in their mentalities and the way that they go about their day-to-day lives, because that stuff is unfortunately so prominent in our society nowadays.
That's pretty accurate. I mean, no, I'm not even going to add to that. That's fine the way it is.
Okay.
But as far as like religious, you mentioned religious patriarchy, and it's unfortunate that, I mean, I'm not saying that atheists are, first of all, atheists aren't perfect. Atheists can be patriarchal too.
Yes.
Very much so. Now, having said that, I would say that because we're a, quote, Judeo-Christian society, end quote, heavy air quotes, like bold.
Yes, because that's a meaningless term.
I know, but it's just the common use of that, like.
Right.
The people that settled this place, aside from the founders, very religious people. In terms of not church attendance, but the fervor. I don't know if you guys have heard of the story of King George III having to write a letter to the colonies, like in the 1600s, to tell them to stop killing people over religious reasons.
Just as a sidetrack, it seems like the people who came over here from Europe were, yes, they were escaping religious oppression, but they also had it in their minds that once they got over here, they would be able to create this utopian religious theocracy that they had in their minds was going to be the ideal. So it wasn't like totally pure motives on their part. But sorry if I just like completely hamstrung that conversation. But let's do talk.
That's actually pretty accurate. I would put it this way: they were escaping the persecution to persecute others.
Right, which is what
that's all I wanted to do. And the powers that be were like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So we are talking about. Or you mentioned the atheist community, and I think that that's kind of a good little sidebar here, that atheists really aren't blameless, and, you know, we've had things like Elevator Gate, and I feel like, on the one hand, the thing that you can say about atheism is that it's a statement on one single topic, and that is there a God or not? And once you get past that question and that answer, everything else is just your personal stance on everything else. So it is perfectly possible, it's not acceptable, but it's perfectly possible to have anti-feminist, MRA, sexist pigs in the atheist community because they are atheists, but they're also just dudes. And I feel like that's just, it's kind of hard to deal with.
Well, I think that can be like associated with anything, really. Like it doesn't matter what your perspectives on controversial issues are, or your affiliation with any sort of groups or whatever. Like if you're an asshole, you're an asshole. And
right.
That doesn't necessarily reflect on the group that you're a part of as a whole, but it unfortunately makes that group look bad. Like when I was in the military, basically, they were like, you can't like march at rallies while you're wearing your uniform or whatever, basically anything that would affiliate the military with whatever it is that your political or religious views were, because that to a point is accurate. Like you unfortunately put that sort of stamp on the group that you're a part of and affiliate whatever nonsense it is that you're engaging in with your group. But I mean, the same can also be said about religious people. Unfortunately, they're just better at disregarding it.
Yeah, and you're right. Their rules are codified, right? And like one of the things that we were talking about earlier is how male dominated things are. Well, atheism's not that different. In fact, it's just as bad. There's reasons for it. I won't go into it, but the male domination of it, you know, I don't think is intentional by any means, and I mean that sincerely. I genuinely don't think it's intentional. But it exists, and because it exists, things happen because of it. You rightly pointed out that atheists can have different views on many other topics, because after atheism, it's all fair game. But the argument I always hear from people is, well, you know, atheists are supposed to be, you know, like rational and scientific, and yet they're assholes. When I turn around and say, not all atheists are skeptics, honey.
Right.
You know, not every atheist came to atheism through critical thinking. Yeah, they're not disparaging those who didn't, but some didn't.
Right.
So you can't infer anything about that. I mean, even if they came to atheism through skeptical thinking, you can't infer anything about the rest of their opinions or their ability to critically think about it. Everyone's got blind spots. Everyone's got biases. The best part of critical thinking and the most important part is to assail your own beliefs and biases without mercy. Because you're not going to learn anything unless you address those things first.
Right.
You just won't. If you go into a calculus class with the idea that it's going to be way, way, way too hard, you know, well, those kind of things have a way of bringing themselves about.
Self-fulfilling prophecies. Well,
yep.
So, I mean, is it fair to say that people who fall in the camp of the sexist, anti-feminist, MRA group just simply lack empathy? Or, I mean, is that too dismissive? Am I missing a lot of nuance?
It would be. I think most people are good to whatever, to certain degrees. And I look, someone can be wrong without being morally bankrupt.
Okay.
Right? And, you know, most MRA arguments are nonsense. You notice I said most. When you dig into their arguments, there's like a handful of things they have a good point on. I'm not going to mention them because I don't want to start this huge, ridiculous debate anywhere.
Let's not.
But they have a handful, a very small portion of their stuff is legitimate. And acknowledging that they have some legitimate things does not legitimize everything they do, because, again, a vast majority of their arguments are terrible. You know, people should be critical of feminism. There's the idea that there's anti-feminism, even if they ascribe to that, you know, these same anti-feminists aren't really advocating for women to not vote. I mean, yes, there are outliers, I understand, but the vast, you know, the bell curve majority tend not to do that. So they're already, they vote, let me put it this way, every anti-feminist has already bought into first and second wave feminism, because they haven't, they're not what they're against. Almost entirely, they're talking about third wave, and I'm not even going to start that. But they've okay. already bought into some feminist ideas. So the idea that they can call themselves anti-feminist is reductionist, wrong, and silly. It doesn't make any sense. Everyone wants to be in groups and on teams with defined lines, and there's purity tests everywhere that destroy a lot of good work that can get done.
And lose elections.
The whole other story.
Yeah.
If you want to have an interview again about the Trump-Russia thing, we can. That's an interesting little nugget of info.
Okay, I have to do some studying before we have that conversation.
I don't, because I'm super knowledgeable about everything.
It's because you're Russian.
It's because I'm a Russian spy, but now I have to kill you because I told you that.
I wanted to kind of turn this a little bit on its
head. I like that
head. I wanted to turn this on its head just a little bit and ask you if, because this is something that I actually have seen happen, but I want your experience and I want your opinion on this whole thing. What is the deal with women who are anti-feminism and who push back on that?
Like I said, everyone can be wrong, including women.
I mean, is this something that you have experienced yourself with, like, and I guess what I'm asking in a way is, as a trans woman, do you feel like there's an additional layer of sexism or pushback with maybe people questioning your authority or qualification to speak on feminism?
No, I actually tend to not speak about it. I tend to not speak about feminism, like, at talks or things like that. So it's not my thing. I can comment on it, but I can't give talks about it. I'm not that knowledgeable about it. I can only tell people what I experience and what I see from where I sit. But there's definitely an extra layer of sexism that comes towards the trans woman. There's the right-wing side that says we're out to get their daughters, despite that never, ever happening. And, you know, these same people don't worry about trans men going after boys. Seems silly. But there is some good news in that the federal government is filing a case that declares, and I quote, "It is the policy of the United States under the Trump administration that gender dysphoria falls under the Americans with Disabilities Act."
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I had it sent to me earlier today. Now, you know, what the I would need more context. But on the one hand, that sounds good. But my immediate reaction to that was, oh, so now I'm disabled. Fantastic.
Right. Well, and I think that falls squarely into the opinion that people with gender dysphoria are just mentally ill.
Yeah, exactly. And no, I'm pretty sound of mind.
well, and I think
if anyone doesn't know, transitioning is not something you do lightly.
Well, right.
This is all non-reversible. People don't get that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless you're Jordan B. Peterson and you think that people are just switching from male to female and non-binary and stacks of numbers every other day that you have to remember or you're going to jail. I mean, I feel like it's incredibly glib of people to consider trans people just, you know, confused or wishy-washy or whatever you want to, whatever word they're going to use.
Oh, agreed. You know, as far as like non-binary stuff, I catch a lot of flack for my opinion on that. Generally, this is the best I can state my view on it. I will use whatever pronouns people want me to. That's not a problem. I will respect whatever people. If you want me to call you, look, we can call someone Sting, and no one has a problem with that. So I don't care what you want me to call you. The difference is that that identity has not been, as far as I know, studied sufficiently from a medical perspective. I want non-binary people to have the same access to care that I do.
Right.
You know, because I have resources I can go to you know, deal with gender dysphoria and transition, whatever. I want those same things available to non-binary people. The problem is there's not enough data to say what they might need or, you know, whatever. We need more data. And I'm not going to invalidate someone's identity because of this. That's silly. I want to know what they need. I don't, you know, I'm not trying to prove them wrong, which is a silly thing to do.
Right.
It's just that, you know, trans people have had like transition and surgery and stuff been going on for decades, almost 60 years now, more, much, much more. And you want me to just flippantly not care about them or not care that evidence hasn't been gathered, that studies haven't been done. You've met me. I am all about that stuff. You need that concrete data so you can treat people correctly.
Right.
You know? There was a time when we bled people out. We don't do that anymore because we learned. You know, I can guarantee you that we're probably doing harm to our non-binary fellow humans by not having appropriate data on how they think, how their non-binary identity manifests. How, you know, what are all these things? You know, we understand gender dysphoria, at least to some degree. We keep being studied. There's constant scientific inquiry into how trans people are. They aren't out to disprove that we are who we say we are. They just want more data. And I feel like if we're going to have a backlash, reactionary attitude towards that kind of inquiry, then you're just going to hurt your own community. You're only going to hurt yourself. And you're only going to hurt the people that you so, you know, passionately advocate for. You can't just go all fifis. I understand feelings are legitimate, and I understand, you know, feelings are valid. But they can only go so far, especially when it comes to, well, how do they need anything medically? Like, can we even answer that basic question? Do they need anything medically? We don't know. As far as I know, we don't have any idea. And it would be nice to know that. Just for their own sake. This isn't for me to have, you know, to feel comfortable with them. It's entirely about them. And I find it disturbing that the conversation being had is, well, they're just wishy-washy. No, just get a whole bunch of them and do a fucking study. Like, find out about them.
Right.
All you people are doing is making assumptions. There's no data on which to base anything.
Right.
You know, all we can do right now is respect people. And while that's fine, that's good, respect is fine and awesome. But, you know, if we don't have information, we're not going to be able to interact with them properly and help them later on if they need it.
Right. And I think that the whole, you know, talking about feelings and how, you know, feelings aren't going to help people. Like, you can empathize and you can be an ally and, you know, you can feel for people, but it's really when it comes right down to actually being an ally and making change, it's the equivalent of thoughts and prayers, right?
To me it is. I have non-binary people, trans people. We're always asked by our medical professionals, do you have a support group? It's very important, mental health wise, because of the problems that trans people face.
You know, bringing this back around to women, there are a lot of misunderstandings about women's health and women's needs that are not being addressed by people who are in positions to make policy. And, you know, as much as it has been attempted to get these people informed, it's almost like, I think it comes back around to this like male dominated culture where we're just like, well, women are mysterious and their parts are kind of yucky and we don't really want to do anything about it. Or we want to just kind of maintain control over that. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's all accurate. I mean, I would, it's probably like an underlying pervasive bias. And I think a lot of what you said contributes to that quite a bit. It can't be overlooked.
Right.
For sure. I can't add to that because it's said too well.
Okay. It's been a good conversation.
I'm assuming you're wrapping things up and telling me how awesome I was. So, yes. Fabulous. Yeah, no, I agree. I was awesome.
Yes, you were awesome. I'm just really glad that we got to talk to you, because I've been waiting to get you on the line for quite some time now, so...
Yay! Get you on the horn!
So, what can we link in our show notes where people can maybe stalk you on social media or something? What have you got going on lately?
They can find all... You can find my videos at youtube.com/thinkskeptically. I'll probably end up sending you that link, so you don't have to spell it out, but... That's the way... Skeptically. I know jokes are better when you explain them, so I figured I'd explain them.
Yes, I always appreciate a good joke explanation. Not jokes so much, but the explanations are fantastic.
Like when somebody makes a joke about reincarnation and you don't understand it right off the bat and then need it explained to you, but you still make them seem like an idiot for it. You know, that sort of thing.
I hold the power of the editing software, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you do, you fucking asshole.
All right.
Fuck you both.
And this interview is officially over. After the news broke on Harvey Weinstein's sexual predation, women took to social media to tell their stories of having been sexually harassed and/or assaulted using the hashtag MeToo. The intent was to bring attention to the fact that you know more women who have been victimized by misogyny and rape culture than you think. Also, to show solidarity and to point out how flawed our society is when it comes to respecting females in general. There's a sense of entitlement with a lot of men, especially those with power, to women's bodies that, frankly, I don't understand. I can't offer any insight into the minds of these people because I don't think that way, but I do think there are a lot of factors involved. First, the fact that men, on the whole, command higher offices than women keep women more dependent on men for their livelihood and therefore less likely to speak out or report violations. That would explain why you don't know exactly how many women have been harassed or abused, coupled with the fact that even when they do speak out, there are plenty of people, mainly men, who gleefully try to discredit them and call them whores for even being in that situation, as if they wanted to be. Second, this treatment of women has been normalized in our society, from grab 'em by the pussy Trumpo to it was the era I grew up in Weinstein. There's almost no violation of a woman's rights we can't just wave away by calling it locker room talk. Except we all know it's not just talk. Men are out of control, seriously. And to be fair, some women as well. I mean, one doesn't need to go farther than Fox News or, hell, the White House press room to find conservative women acting as conduits for the patriarchal message of entitlement, or Mayim Bialik talking about how ugly girls can't even get hit on or something stupid like that. So the Me Too hashtag went up, and almost immediately there was a Not All Men hashtag to counter it. How is that a reasonable knee-jerk response to women legitimately sharing their stories? We all know it's not all men who are abusers. We all know it's not all men who are enablers. You really don't need to say it. Nobody was accusing you of anything, unless they explicitly were because you're one of those men. A response by John Mark Green to the Not All Men hashtag caught my attention, and I want to end with this. Not all men rape or grope. Not all men persist after being told no. Not all men catcall or demean. Not all men turn mean if she's not into them. Not all men think dinner buys them sex. Not all men mistake politeness for interest. This is true, but not all men listen. Not all men believe her. Not all men have the guts to shut down rape jokes or confront misogyny. Not all men are man enough to intervene. So when you say not all men, it cuts both ways. Not doing something isn't always the measure of a good man.
Random verse.
Our random verse this week comes from Joshua 10, verses 12 through 14. Goes like this.
Then spake Joshua to the Lord, in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon.
And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel.
That sounded like complete gibberish.
That was total bullshit for like 94 different reasons. You want to get into it?
I guess. I don't have a choice.
Let's do this! Well, first of all, I'm going to point out the obvious. Yeah. So this is an Old Testament book.
Yeah.
And it references another book. It's called the Book of Jasher. Yeah. And the Book of Jasher is not considered canonical.
Is this a crossover episode?
No. There's a Book of Jasher that is referenced, but it is not included in any text. Like, who's read it? Who's read Jasher? Anybody?
Me.
Anyone? Bueller?
I did it. I read Jasher for breakfast.
Isn't that rashers? Bacon. Bacon rashers? Oh, bacon jashers?
God, no.
I eat bacon jashers
Go
for
away.
Breakfast. So anyway, it's really stupid that this is referencing a book that they knew was not included in their text. Like, they were putting together all of the text, and they were putting together all of the books, and they had this one, and they were like, nah, whatever. We'll just, like, it's a mystery. It just adds to the mystique of the story.
It's like Beep Beep Richie in the It movie.
Oh my gosh, why couldn't they have just freaking spent a little bit of time on character development?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're trying to reward people who read the Book of Jasher, and everybody else just doesn't get to know about it.
Ooh.
So maybe what you should fix about yourself is that you haven't read the Book of Jasher, you scrub.
Wow. See, I wonder if I would have read the Book of Jasher before I watched the movie of Joshua, if I would have really appreciated it. I've been like, that's not how the book went!
All right. So.
Okay, so anyway, this is talking about a battle that was going on, and Joshua prayed to the Lord for victory, and the Lord was like, yeah, Joshua, love you, bro. I got this. And so God spoke to the sun and the moon and told them, don't move until the battle is over.
Stay there, guys.
Stay put, fam. BRB. And so this is saying that the sun that, you know, of course, because the sun is the thing that moves, not the earth.
Yes.
The sun
around the flat earth
stopped. And the sun stopped above the flat earth, and the moon stopped above the flat earth, and they just hung out for the entirety of a battle.
What up, moon?
Well, yo, what up, sun?
Oh, just hanging around, being a moon.
Mornish references for you guys.
I know, right? So anyway, yeah, this is clearly, like pretty much everything else in the Bible, big surprise, a total misunderstanding of the natural world as a whole and how things even work. The people in the Bible did not understand how things work.
Yeah.
Like, how do you even things?
Well, I don't know. See, I'm kind of torn on that point because, like, even scientists didn't really understand how things worked back then, and we slowly had to figure it out over time. But they also were not writing canonical stories, supposedly non-fictional stories, about how the sun just stood still in the sky for at least a day. So,
and there you go. And that's the huge difference, is the scientific process gives us a continually evolving, continually advancing, and self-correcting knowledge. And the Bible gives us fucking bullshit that never ever changes and isn't allowed to change just because of the way it is. And so you have to, like, freaking turn your brain inside out to explain how this shit could possibly even be true.
Yeah, that's factual.
Although I don't, like, what would it take to turn your brain inside out?
That would be a fairly impressive feat.
Especially if it still worked after that.
I might even consider that a miracle.
No, there are no miracles. We would figure out some way to explain that without invoking magic.
Sure.
I think.
But magic is a much more fun way to explain things.
Well, you're not wrong.
Magic!
Is that another reference I don't get?
It was a Pete Holmes reference. It's the Magnets skit.
Oh, the Magnets. Gotcha. This is actually, oh, you know what? Now that I think of it, this is actually not the only time in the Bible where the sun is supposed to have stayed still in the sky, because it was also supposed to have happened during, well, actually in the opposite way. It was supposed to have happened during Jesus' crucifixion, where the sun went away when it was supposed to be there. I mean, it kind of sounds like a total eclipse, but whatever. It went away when it was supposed to be there. Like, the sun just bye-bye'd out of the sky, and it was complete blackness to show, like, that Jesus' crucifixion was incredibly serious and significant.
Yeah, that would be a good way of punctuating the seriousness of something, if you just made the sun disappear for a brief moment of time.
Yeah.
And that,
yeah, that would be so much better than...
is why my client is innocent. Blackness.
Suddenly nighttime.
And then the sun comes back and everyone's like, oh shit, we gotta give this guy an innocent verdict.
Yeah. Well, but before that, the defense attorney has to be like, and now I will bring the sun back so that you can see your paper to write down your verdict.
I don't think that's how that works.
Well, I mean, if you can make the sun go away, then you also have to make it seem like you're bringing the sun back, right?
Or are you implying that your power would only be to make the sun go away and then it just comes back whenever it wants to?
Or that would also indicate that maybe you have, like, an arch enemy whose only power is to bring the sun back. So every time you make it go away, your enemy's like, no, bring it back. And then you're like, no, go away. And then, like, it just fucks everybody's sleep schedule up and they all hate you.
Man, this sounds like a pretty decent graphic novel. I'm going to write it now. I got this. I'm on it.
Do it.
Oh, man.
So if you were going to rate this verse on a scale of one stationary moon to one that's no moon, what would you rate it?
I would rate it exactly 2 bacon rashers.
You mean 2 bacon jashers?
No, that is not what I meant.
Too late. It's in the recording. Foiled again. I hope you've been able to handle how manly this episode was. We're going to go flex our muscles in front of the mirror to remind ourselves we're not girls. It takes big balls to give us money like our patrons, Gaytheist and Lisa McLean. You can do it too, but if not, we get it. Why don't you like, share, and review us on all the social medias and podcast places for free? Until next week, if you have questions or comments, please send us an email to podcast@waywardwillis.com. Intro music was provided by Austin Cologne and used with permission. You can find more of Austin's music linked in the show notes. This podcast is a media production of Willisware LLC. All rights reserved.
This has been The Wayward Willis. If you liked what you just heard and you want more of John and Logan, you can follow us on Twitter @WaywardWillis, Facebook @facebook.com/TheWaywardWillis, or @WillisWeb.com. If you want to help the show and have a few extra dollars, you can donate per episode or per month on Patreon @patreon.com/wayward. We'll be back next week.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.